Wilcox, St. Helena, California, February 8, 1907. Elder Wilcox, Dear Brother Wilcox, I have just been reading a letter from you. I cannot advise you to leave the position you are now occupying, unless the Lord shall clearly indicate that it is your duty to do so. Hold the fort where you are, and let the truth triumph. You have been compelled to meet the opposition of some who have gone forward in a way of their own choosing, carrying out ideas and purposes of their own, which are in direct opposition to a plain, thus saith the Lord. Should you now be forced from your post of duty, the Lord, who has repeatedly sent His messages to strengthen you, would be dishonored. I have had many messages given to me concerning the work in various places. In the early morning hours I arise and write out the things that the Lord has revealed to me. I have a message for you and for your associates in the work of the Boulder Sanitarium. I am bidden to say to you, come into a close and sacred communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the sanitarium there are some who need the refining, sanctifying grace of God on the mind and character. To some God will one day speak the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25, verse 23. These words of commendation will be spoken to those who endure test and trial, who submit to the refining process and are made white by the blood of the Lamb. If all those who profess to be sons and daughters of God would reveal in the words and in the life practice the light and grace of God, they would be companionable. They would learn of Him who has said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Here is Christ's method of finding rest. Shall we not all open the heart and invite the Savior to be our guest? Unless our characters are formed after the divine similitude, we shall not, in this evil and wicked generation, be found bearing the signature of heaven. It means much to form characters after the similitude of Christ's character. If, with defective characters, we were admitted to heaven, we would spoil its harmony. I beseech of every physician and every helper in the institution in Boulder to seek earnestly to be fashioned after the likeness of Christ. In this world, we are to learn the science of perfecting Christian character. This will be learned best by a close connection with the great teacher. In wearing his yoke, we shall know what it means to overcome defects in character. Learn of me, he says. Verse 29. We are to learn the meaning of true reform, and then to live in harmony with the principles of this reform. Let all remember that others, as well as themselves, are the Lord's purchased possession. Care should be taken not to give occasion for a disaffection in the minds of fellow laborers in the work of the Lord. Much friction might be avoided were there a more earnest effort to learn the meekness and lowliness of Christ. Let every worker treat every other worker with due respect and Christian courtesy. By the manifestation of patience, you may sometimes reveal that you have responded to the invitation of the Savior and have found rest in Him. When unkind words are spoken, silence is often the best rebuke that can be given. Kind words, kind deeds, and a tender spirit are the ornaments of a Christian. A manifestation of the spirit of true courtesy will be a testimony to those who patronize the sanitarium that the workers are not counterfeit Christians, but that they are following an infallible guide. Christ is our example. He who laid off His royal crown in heaven and clothed Himself with humanity, that men and women might be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we are to behold the perfection of His character. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16-17. Christ has given us His Word, that men and women may be thoroughly furnished with a remedy for all spiritual diseases. The Word is a test of human character. It points out the disease and prescribes the remedy. In the Word is a prescription for every spiritual ailment. The plain commands of God will exert a healthful influence upon the mind and upon the whole body. If taken in faith and faithfully practiced, its remedies are infallible. If the workers in the sanitarium will practice the principles of the Word, a strong spiritual atmosphere will pervade the institution. Angels of God will be present. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As it exerts its power of saving grace upon physicians and nurses, its influence will extend to the patients. If we are determined to do the will of God, His will becomes a living, working agency in our experience. We shall never entertain in thought or words of action that which the Lord forbids. The instruction to be found in the Word of God is comprehensive. It is adapted to every circumstance and every condition in life. Especially is it adapted to the need of the workers in the sanitarium, for it is inspired by the greatest physician that ever lived. A deep study of God's Word is essential to every Christian physician and nurse. A timely word of encouragement will often do much to revive the heart of one who is discouraged. Remember that you are laborers together with God. When you are in perplexity, seek unerring counsel from the words of inspiration. This means that you are to seek the Lord for guidance, as did Daniel, of whom we read that he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Daniel 6, verse 10. The blessed words of inspiration are not appreciated as they should be. They make manifest the wisdom of God applied to human affairs. Every true reform is based upon a thus saith the Lord. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that had mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go thou and do likewise. Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11, verse 9 to 11, 13. Having ascertained from the Word what is the will of God, go forward with fearlessness and courage. But you may be assured that some will always oppose the right. Selfish interest will clash with the close, self-denying principles of the Word. You cannot carry out the pure, uplifting principles of true reform without there being a revelation of opposing interests. The law of Jehovah will ever be opposed by selfish men. But I am to say to you, the Son of God was manifested that he might establish true reforms, and that he might draw all men unto him. He tells us that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. The Son of God calls himself the Son of Man. He came to draw all men unto him, but some will not be drawn. He says, I came not to send peace on earth, but a sword. Matthew 10, verse 34. I am instructed to say to you, he have been striving to carry forward a work in Boulder, in harmony with the Word of God. You will not find the way smooth before you. But ever bear in mind the light that the Lord has sent. And let everyone connected with the sanitarium put away all sensitiveness and jealousy. Die to self, and let Christ be your strength. Let all sanctify themselves unto God, and cleave, in humility of mind, to correct principles. The Lord has said to those who are carrying out the great gospel commission, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. Ever remember that you are amenable to God in the formation of your character. Nothing is to be undertaken upon which you cannot ask the blessing of God. He is the eternal and the universal guardian. Truth is to be maintained in its purity. We cannot engage in any business enterprise that will trample upon the rights of God's heritage, or that will in any way work injustice to others. If, in carrying forward his work, others treat us unjustly, we need not feel that we are personally injured. God will, in righteousness, vindicate his own cause. He discerns every motive that prompts to action. He sees, in every devising, the end from the beginning. He recognizes the motives in every action, and he will send light and knowledge to those who endeavor to follow out his counsel. No man can trample upon the rights of God's workmen without smiting the hand of God. Let all the workers in the Boulder Sanitarium be of good courage. Light has come from heaven to distinguish between those who heed the instruction of God and those who discard its principles. God has spoken, but some have said by their actions, Who is the Lord that I should serve him? See Exodus 5, verse 2. The Lord may permit men to develop the spirit that is in them, but think not that the will and purposes of unsanctified men will bear away the victory. Men are now taking sides. Those who are serving the Lord will follow the principles of justice to all men. God will vindicate the faithful endeavors of those in the Boulder Sanitarium, an institution that he has signified should be conducted in the strictest integrity. There is true success in practicing the high standard of the commandments of God and recognizing their moral obligation. God will bless all who will carry out the principles upon which our sanitariums were established. Let there be not a trace of conniving at evil or of dishonesty. The Lord is calling his professed commandment-keeping people to come up on a high platform of righteous judgment. For God and his truth should be the motto of the workers in every sanitarium. Efforts have been made to supplant the institution that the Lord has established. Men who have refused the counsel of the Lord have brought perplexity and trial to God's workers. Yet you are not to enter into controversy. Let nothing be said except in vindication of truth. Those who have united with Dr. Place to extol and sustain him will have to answer to God for their course and for its evil results. Trust in the Lord, even though you have severe trials. Do not create trials for yourself. The precepts of Jesus are the only safe rules of conduct. Make every detail of business the subject of earnest prayer. Seek the Lord with sanctified purpose. Seek for that guidance and strength which you feel that your circumstances demand. There is nothing that is of interest to those who will do the will of the Lord, but what is precious in his sight. Let physicians and nurses and all helpers make a covenant with God by sacrifice at every step. If all will bring all the principles of true religion into their service for God, they will someday hear the words, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, verse 23.